Sunday Showcase, highlighting some of the best audio storytelling found anywhere. All right here on the Mutual Audio Network.
The following audio drama is rated PG for parental guidance.
Little theater, please.
What you all come to?
Hi there, and welcome back to Mutual Presents. My co-host and familiar Penny and I are headed quickly in a cab for our second double feature in the theater in 2 weeks. This Sunday showcase, it's First Nighter, brought to us by Monday Matinee. Our double feature this week is An Order by the Lieutenant and There's Something in the Air. So let's be sure to wind back those clocks and get there while the doors are still open.
Campana's First Nighter program. From the little theater off Times Square. Starring Barbara Luddy and Owen Soule with an all-star cast presented by Campana, the quality name in cosmetics. Theater time on Broadway. And tonight is a special occasion in Theaterland, for a brand new play makes its opening night bow to the public and drama critics at the little theater off Times Square. Yes, an opening night on the Great White Way is the kind of exciting experience that you'll never forget. So let me promptly introduce our host for the evening, the genial First Nighter.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It's very pleasant to have you with us this evening. I know the traffic will be heavy, so I suggest we start right off for the theater. My cab is waiting. Won't you step in? All right, driver, the little theater. Up Broadway, across 42nd Street, and there ahead of the bright lights across the facade of the little theater off Times Square. I can see the newsreel cameras on trucks recording the event. We'll be there in a minute. Well, here we are.
I say, old top, isn't that Susan?
But that famous banker, what's his name? Where is my autograph?
Have your tickets ready, please.
Good evening, Mr. First Nighter. The usher will show you to your seats.
Thank you. We'll go right in. Here we are, ladies and gentlemen, all comfortably seated in the seventh row center. And as usual, on an opening night, the house is a sellout. Also, there's Frank Worth conducting the famous First Nighter Orchestra. Tonight's new play is entitled An Order by the Lieutenant, written by Vernon C. Hoyt and co-starring Barbara Luddy and Olin Soule. The story takes us back to the fall of 1866, and the setting is Fort Riley, Kansas. Miss Luddy is cast as Nancy Colfax, a determined, courageous, and beautiful young lady. Mr. Soule is an eager young lieutenant, Gordon Singleton. And I see that we have a stellar supporting cast tonight. Polly Bear is Sergeant Freely, Hugh Studebaker is Colonel Willingham, Arthur Q. Bryan is Private Dabbs, and other famous names. And now it's just about time for the house lights to dim. There's the signal for first curtain. The house lights are out. And here's the play.
Come in. Well, Sergeant Freely, you're around early for a frosty morning. What's been chasing you? Indians?
No, sir. It's the colonel. He said for you to come to his headquarters at once.
I'll be with you as soon as I slide into my boots.
You better hustle, sir. The colonel seemed excited.
Yes. He's the most excitable colonel in Fort Riley. What is it this time? More Indian trouble?
Well, there is some of that, but...
Come here. Help me in my coat, Freely.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Now, let's go. Oh, I hear that Captain Brown's company is leaving for the Solomon River country in the morning.
He's got a lot on his mind to be prowling around after Indians right now.
Oh? What's up with the captain?
His wife had her baby last night.
So?
She's doing right poorly, sir, her and the little one.
Oh, too bad.
Yes, sir, mighty too bad. You know, I think the captain ought to stay home this time and look after...
He can't permit a woman to keep him from his duty, even if she is his wife.
Yeah, but maybe she
army
might...
Army men should think of those things, Freely, before they get married.
Well, how'd he know that
army man should allow a woman to lead the sort of life we do on a frontier post. There's no place for women here.
Gosh, Lieutenant, I didn't know you were so sought again women. Hey, sir.
As a soldier, I am.
Now, that's queer. I thought you went back to Memphis on leave last month, specially to see about...
I changed my mind about that.
Why, didn't you fancy living here?
That's the trouble. Miss Colfax did fancy living here.
Oh.
But that's all over now. She understands now that she isn't cut out to be an army officer's wife. Some women just aren't. Good morning, Colonel Willingham.
Morning, Singleton. Morning, Bailey.
Yeah, morning, sir.
Glad to see you came so quickly. Ready to my office, Singleton. I'll join you. I want to see the sergeant in a moment.
Certainly, sir.
Sergeant, I want you to go to my quarters and tell Mr. Willingham.
Oh, I beg your pardon. I did... Nancy Colfax.
Good morning, Lieutenant Singleton.
What on earth are you doing here? You can't stay. I told you in Memphis it was impossible.
Must I leave so soon? I'd rather expected a warmer greeting. After all, I've only been here an hour, and it was a rather difficult journey. The river steamer from Memphis to Kansas City, and that bouncing stagecoach to Riley, Kansas, and you.
Well, I don't understand. I thought...
You thought that the Colfaxes had ceased to go after what they want?
Yes. I mean, no.
Your indecision is most confusing, Gordon.
Well, does the colonel know? Did you tell him that we were...
Oh, he still thinks we are. You see, I've been here an hour. I thought it more proper to meet you here at your headquarters.
Now, look, Nancy. Miss Colfax. This isn't any kind of life.
We've been all over that, and I've simply decided that it is my kind of life, with you. I don't have any trouble with my decisions, Gordon.
Miss Colfax, ladies don't... They don't... Well, they just don't talk that way. It's not ladylike. It's not...
It's surely not a quarrel. Not already.
Not at all, Colonel. Lieutenant Singleton, Gordon,
yes?
We're just saying that it's not like an officer to keep a lady waiting.
My apologies, Miss Colfax. My most humble apologies. But I thought you two would like the first few moments alone.
That was thoughtful of you, Colonel.
Yes, very kind of you, sir.
Quite a surprise, isn't it, Singleton? Quite a surprise. Well, in the military, we set huge stock by the element of surprise. Singleton?
Yes, sir. We do, sir.
Yes. Miss Colfax, I've sent Sergeant Freely to my quarters to inform Mrs. Willingham that we'll have a guest. A few days until the arrangements have been completed.
Arrangements?
Yes.
What arrangements?
What? Well, for the marriage, of course. Can't just get married like that. Have put on a real military wedding. Sure, all the trimmings. Very good for the morale of the post. Now, Singleton, escort Miss Colfax to my quarters. Mrs. Willingham is expecting her. Singleton?
Yes, sir. The arrangements.
Yeah. Lieutenant, of course, Mrs. Willingham and myself and Miss Colfax will be expecting you for dinner tonight at my quarters.
It was thoughtful of the Colonel and his wife to suggest this after-dinner walk. I need a walk after that meal. Oh, and isn't the night just perfect?
It's all right.
It's such a beautiful post in the moonlight.
I suppose so.
You're not very talkative, Gordon.
Look, Nancy, it's just no good. Now, you must go back to Memphis.
Oh, but I'm not going. Except perhaps on our next leave. We can go together.
Nancy, for the last time, this is no life for a woman. I couldn't ask
Are
you...
Are those the stables?
Yes. Army life is hard, Nancy. An officer is... Well, he's on duty 24 hours a day. He just can't have any home.
What are those little wagons that look like miniature prairie schooners?
Mess wagons. The troops take them along on marches. Nancy, it's an uncertain life. You may be all right today, and then...
There seem to be a lot of soldiers around the stables.
They're getting ready to leave on a mission tomorrow morning. Indian trouble. That's what I mean, Nancy. No security for a wife. An army officer has to give all his time, his life, to the army.
The colonel and Mrs. Willingham seem quite happy. Their quarters are so nice and homelike with all her lace curtains and etched glassware.
Well, he's a colonel. Lieutenants are different.
A lot of men seem to be going on that Indian mission.
It's all of Company K. Poor Brownie.
Who?
Captain Brown, Company K's commanding officer. His wife had her baby this morning. She's not doing it all well. Now the captain has to go away and...
Oh, poor thing. Perhaps Mrs. Willingham will take me to call on her.
Nancy, a woman doesn't have a chance in this country. We're sitting on the edge of nothing. If you count dust storms, the heat and cold and the Indians, nothing. I just couldn't ask you to share this kind of life.
I'm not at all worried about me.
It'd be like a sentence. A life sentence at hard labor with bad food. Bad living quarters. Always moving around to new posts.
Oh, you darling. Gordon, the Colfax women have never been afraid of anything so long as they could be with the men they love.
Well, I'm afraid you'd hate me within a year.
Do you suppose that Mrs. Brown hates the captain?
Certainly not, but she may not live long enough to hate anyone. Now, Nancy, we're going back to the colonel's quarters.
Why? What's wrong?
Nothing's wrong. I've got to see the colonel about an important matter.
About Captain Brown?
Yes. I want to ask the colonel to let me go in his place.
Yes, I think I understand.
And, Nancy, it'll give you a chance to go home without any unpleasantness. You can tell the colonel that you just don't think you're cut out to be an army officer's wife.
Gordon, are you trying to run away from me?
No, not at all. It's just a military duty. I've got to do it. You see what I mean, Nancy. Anxiety for you, long, lonesome days. Well, you might be a widow tomorrow night. That is, if we were married.
And the curtain comes down on the first act of the night's play in the little theater off Times Square.
Smoking in the outer lobby or downstairs only, see? Smoking in the outer lobby.
And now, during the intermission, let me introduce you to a timely message.
Mother, wait for me.
Come along, dear, out of the crowd.
Well, we made it. What a jam.
Darling, you look very lovely tonight.
Well, thanks. But speaking of pretty people, Mums, you look gorgeous.
Oh, you're a flatterer.
Oh, that's a stunning dress. I've never seen you look so young. Your skin, it's like you were 21. Creamy, smooth. Say, have you been doing something to your makeup?
I wondered if you'd notice. I rather like it. Do you?
Like it? Why, it's magic.
Yes, it is magic. I borrowed some of your magic touch.
Why, you brazen person. And recently when I offered you magic touch, you said...
I know. I was 48, and I just have to look my age.
But didn't I tell you, Mother, what a divine complexion you can have with magic touch?
You did, darling. You said I'd never know how pretty I could be until I tried it.
And that's the truth, ladies. Magic touch is an entirely different creation from any makeup you've ever used. Magic touch is Campana's new cream makeup in a wafer-thin compact. You will see it advertised in Life magazine, March 8th issue. It's so easy to use, so quick. You don't need sponge, powder puff, or water. You just smooth your fingers lightly over the surface of Magic Touch, apply it to your face, and blend. And Magic Touch is all you need to be beautiful for hours and hours. It gives your complexion a flawless, fragile look, the new unmade-up look that's so popular today. Magic Touch is a sheer makeup, nothing heavy or mask-like about it. Yet, it cleverly conceals little skin faults, helps give your skin a poreless appearance. 6 complexion-flattering shades, too, ranging from fragile pink to the deeper golden colors. And what a welcome bargain Magic Touch is price-wise. You get a large, lovely white and gold compact for only $1. The special introductory size sells for only 39 cents. And there's no finer quality at any price. So, tomorrow, promise yourself a thrilling new experience. Try Magic Touch. You'll never know how pretty you can be until you do.
Curtain. Second curtain.
The first nighters are hurrying down the aisles to their seats, and here's the second act of An Order by the Lieutenant.
Company's form, Lieutenant, sir.
You've checked all equipment, Sergeant?
Yes, sir. Personal equipment, ammunition, mess supplies, all in order. I put Private Dabbs in charge of the mess wagon. You can depend on Dabbs where food's concerned.
That's right, Freely. Be careful with the mess. An army travels on its stomach, you know.
Yes, sir. When you're stalking Indians, you get powerful hungry. That's why I put Dabbs in charge.
Oh, good morning, Colonel.
Morning, Singleton. Everything in readiness?
Yes, we're ready, sir. Our scouts left 2 hours ago.
Good. Well, you have your orders. From reports I have, you'll probably meet up with those Redskins on your second day's march. They're that close, blast them. Seem to be getting more brazen every day.
I know, sir. I have their recently reported positions marked on my map.
Excellent. I needn't remind you to be alert, Singleton.
No, sir.
After all, there's a girl waiting here for you. Singleton, I still can't understand why you requested this duty. But I guess that's your business, isn't it? You're fit for the job. Fit for the job. So, good luck.
Thank you, sir. Bugler?
Yes,
Well, she might have come down to see me off. But maybe it's better she didn't.
Didn't hear you, Lieutenant.
I didn't say anything.
I'd have swore you did, sir. That's the third time this afternoon I thought I did. You all right, Lieutenant?
Oh, yes. I'm fine. We'll camp here tonight, Freely.
Yes, sir.
What did that scout report to you?
He said he left his party a couple hours ago. Up to then, he said the prairie was as empty as a soldier's promise to a girl.
Well, in that case, post your picket, Sergeant. Caution them to keep a sharp lookout. Although I don't think we'll meet up with any trouble on our first night out.
First, second, they all look the same in this prairie country. Nothing but buffalo grass and sunflowers.
Yes, doesn't look like much now, Freely. But they may even try to grow things here someday. Cattle, maybe. Or grain.
Wouldn't surprise me none if they tried to give it back to the Indians once we get them run off.
Well, see about the pickets, Freely. And see that they're alert, that nothing surprises us. The element of surprise is a tactic the Indians have mastered, too.
Yes, sir. Speaking of surprises, sir, Private Dabbs swears there's one in the mess wagon that's been making his life miserable all day. Claims every piece of meat he's tried to eat today gets swiped off in the seat when he's driving.
Serves him right for eating between meals. See that he stops it.
Yes, sir, Lieutenant. Yes, sir. Nice fella. Too bad his uniform's too new.
Have a good night, Sergeant.
Middling, sir. Just middling.
So?
Yes, sir, just middling. Didn't dream about women last night, and that worries me. Still having trouble with them spooks grabbing your chow, Dabs?
That ain't no joking matter, Sergeant. Turned if it didn't happen again not 10 minutes ago.
No, I ain't surprised. You're hitting them buffalo wallers too hard and you can't help it. You ain't even got the reins in your hand.
Of course not. I got them reins wound around the whip socket. Keeping my hands free to grab whoever's a plaguing me.
Well, the lieutenant said to lay off eating so much. See you later.
Yeah, yeah, go on blab to the Louie. Sergeants is all alike. Hey!
There, you dirty redskin, I got you.
My skin is not red.
Oh.
Anyway, now that you started pommeling me.
Gee, up in Jehoshaphat. It's a woman. It's the lieutenant's miss.
Quite right, Miss Nancy Colfax, if you prefer introductions.
I shouldn't have hit you, ma'am. I just...
Oh, that's all right, Debs. Oh, my goodness. Although, I'm bruised enough already just riding in this horrible cart. And I practically suffocated under that canvas.
Well, here, ma'am, allow me to present you with this piece of meat you almost swiped. Took a minute ago.
Thank you, Dabs, thank you. I am starved.
Does the lieutenant know?
He most certainly does not know. But I'm sure we're far enough away from Fort Riley so he might be informed.
By me?
Certainly.
Well, now, ma'am, I likes the ladies as well as anybody. I don't mind doing them a favor. But I ain't gonna risk being skinned alive with the lieutenant telling him you're here.
Will he be very angry?
Angry? He'll be plumb... Flabberdoodled.
My goodness. That? Yep. Nevertheless, call him here. It's time he knew. If you don't want, I'll call him.
Oh, no, don't do that. You'll have every blamed man-jack in the company here. I'll get him, but don't blame me for what happens. Lieutenant! Lieutenant Singleton!
Yes, Dabs, what is it? Great heavens, Nancy.
Good afternoon, what? Lieutenant.
Dabs? Pull your wagon out of the column.
Yes, sir. Here. Whoa! Whoa, darn you. Stop!
Now then, what's the meaning of this outrage? Have you lost your mind? Don't you know we're in dangerous territory? That you might get hurt?
If you'll ask your questions one at a time, Lieutenant, I might answer them.
Well, this is against all regulations. Don't you realize, Nancy, what the men will think? Why did you do it?
All right, I'll answer that one. I did it to show you that I can take army life just as well as you can. The very worst part of it, the campaigning.
But, Nancy, women don't campaign.
No? What do you think I'm doing? Element of surprise and all.
Well, I've got to send you back.
Perhaps I did it because I love you.
Well, I've...
Lieutenant, the scout, you... Miss Colfax. Well, I'll
That's enough of that, Sergeant.
inch.
What about the scouts?
Well, they've reported seeing a fair-sized patrol of them red critters. And our scouts thinks the Indians knows our location. Also found a wagon train. Remains of one.
Well, then we must intercept that patrol. They get back to the main tribe and report our position. Sergeant, get me a dozen men at once.
Yes, sir.
You'll take over the company while I'm gone.
Oh, but I thought you'd want me to take out the patrol.
You heard my order.
Yes, sir.
And while I'm gone, have the company prepare a defense position.
How about the grove by the bend in the river about a mile ahead? We know they're south of the river.
Yes, it does look like a place they might likely cross the river, but I believe our position would be stronger in this cottonwood grove here at our right. It can be defended from all sides.
Yes, sir. If they cross at the grove by the river bend, they'll be in the open all the way to this grove.
Right. All right. Organize the patrol.
Take me, Lieutenant.
Very well, Dabbs, if you wish to go. Oh, and, Sergeant, place Miss Colfax under arrest.
Yes.
What does that mean, Gordon? Lieutenant.
It means a lot of things. First, you can't leave camp.
But I don't want to leave camp.
Ain't we taking a lot of chances, Lieutenant, riding out here in the open?
We have to take chances, Dabbs, if we're to locate those rascals.
This country don't look good to me.
Yes, it's Indian country, all right. If that's what you mean.
That's what I mean. Look, Lieutenant, coming over the hill. A dozen of them.
Then they didn't get back to the main body. Watch it, Dabbs. Into the draw, Dabbs.
Yes, sir.
Into the draw, man. Quick! Go!
Did you hit, sir?
I think so, but I can hang on till we get to the draw.
That's all. After we beat them off, the lieutenant was plumb out. We tied him on his horse and brought him back here. It was getting dark fast, so we was able to ride right along.
He's got a bad hit, all right. Here's another wet cloth, man.
Thank you. He seems awfully feverish.
Now, don't you worry none, Miss Colfax. He's a good soldier. He'll make it.
I know he will. I'll make him.
Oh.
There, darling. Just lie quietly. Sergeant.
Yes, ma'am?
The Indian patrol got away, you know.
Yes, ma'am, I know.
And that means that they got back to report our position.
Yes, ma'am, Miss Colfax.
Then I expect that the lieutenant would want you to inspect the emplacements that the men have built.
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am.
The curtain comes down on the second act of tonight's play in the little theater off Times Square.
Smoking downstairs in the outer lobby only, please. Smoking downstairs.
All right, ladies. Here is something worth hearing.
Ladies, you'll never know how soft, how smooth, how pretty your hands can be until you use Italian Balm. Yes, good, dependable, rich Italian Balm, the lotion that so many of you praised so much in the pre-war years, is back again in the stores. Made exactly as it used to be, including all the original ingredients.
That's awfully good news to lots of women besides me, Mr. Keating. Somehow, I've never found anything to equal Italian Balm when it comes to keeping busy hands free of dryness and chapping.
And if I may say so, Mother, I've never had so many compliments on my hands as I've had since I've been using Italian Balm. And after all, a girl can always use a compliment.
Thank you, ladies. And remember, Italian Balm can't be beat for economy. It's still only 25, 50 cents and a dollar a bottle. Same pre-war price, same pre-war quality, same pre-war quantity. Get your bottle of Italian Balm tomorrow.
Curtain, last curtain.
First nighters are all in their seats, ready for the last act, and there goes the curtain.
You, Sergeant?
Yes, it's me.
Everything's all right?
Seems to be. I had a bad time finding all the pickets in the dark. I've never seen it so black. Men's uneasy, too. How's Lieutenant?
Still the same. He does seem to be resting better. We just had a fire so I could see.
Yeah, can't risk no light, ma'am.
Poor darling, he's burning up with fever.
He stopped a bad one.
Can't we start taking him back to Fort Riley tonight?
Not a chance, ma'am. You wouldn't get 5 miles.
Sergeant, maybe this
Now, don't you worry none about the lieutenant, ma'am.
We'll get through this thing.
But I am worried about all of us. While you were looking after the men, I was thinking that if the Indians really know where we are, we won't have much of a chance if they attack. Unless we do something like the element of surprise. Isn't that the way the Army puts it?
You can't go out after them. Our chances is better to stay here where we're holed up.
Sergeant, you know that grove down by the bend in the river?
Yes, about a mile from here.
We could go out after them, if you said, if the company was moved to that grove. And I stayed here with the lieutenant and perhaps build a little fire for a decoy.
Bless me, ma'am. We could pounce on them while they was crossing the river, coming up the bank.
That's it. They'd think that we were still in this position.
But what if they don't come that way?
In that case, they still would see our fire.
Whoa, now. How about you and the lieutenant here all alone?
The company would still have the same odds, wouldn't they? In their new position in the other grove.
Sure, but
I'm not afraid. I can't give you an order, Sergeant, I know. But I could tell you that Lieutenant Singleton woke up long enough while you were gone to suggest to order this plan.
Yes, ma'am. You could tell me that, all right.
If I should tell you?
Well, I'd think that that the lieutenant knowed what he was doing.
Do you think the lieutenant really ordered this?
I know we're doing it, Dabs. And they've been mighty near got the whole company to this grove.
That fire she's got back there looks mighty tempting.
That's what it's aiming to do, tempt the Indians.
She comes pretty near being a good soldier herself, don't she, Sergeant?
This is the longest night I ever seen. Ain't them darn redskins never coming?
Starting to get a bit light over there in the east.
Yeah, I can just make out some of the men strung along the riverbank.
Sure. Listen, you hear that, Sergeant?
Sound like someone's in the river.
Oh, darling, it worked. It worked.
What?
Gordon, can you see?
What is it, Nancy?
Don't try to move. Let me hold you up. See, down by the river? The company has driven the Indians off.
How did they get down there? I thought I told Freely to camp here. It's getting dark again, Nancy.
That's it, darling. Sleep. Sleep.
So help me, sir, every word is gospel, sure as you're laying in that bunk.
But, Freely, did I actually give the order to move up to the other grove? I can't remember doing it.
Of course, I didn't exactly hear them orders from your own lips, ma'am. Sir.
I think I'm beginning to understand a lot of things. Come in.
Hello there. And how's the patient?
Come right on in, Miss Colfax. He's doing right smart well. Another week and he'll be brand new. Yeah, well, I think maybe I've wore out my welcome. So long, Lieutenant. Miss Colfax.
Goodbye, Sergeant.
Bye, Freely. Nancy, you sweet, crazy, lovable...
Now, Lieutenant, is that any way to talk to a person who's under arrest?
Arrest?
Of course, don't you remember? Back at the grove, you ordered the sergeant to place me under arrest.
Oh, and that's one order I do remember. And one I'll never change. You're under arrest. For life, I hope.
I love it every minute of it, darling.
Now, wait a minute. There's a catch. No more Indian fighting.
I promise.
No more stowing away in mess wagons.
I promise.
And no more of this foolishness until after I've had a kiss.
I promise. The element of surprise is a fine tactic, Lieutenant.
There it is. The final curtain comes down on the screening of the little theater off Times Square. The audience is on its feet applauding. Miss Lottie and Mr. Soleil are bowing in front of the footlights. The play is a hit. Did the first nighters like it? Listen to that applause. Next week, there's a special treat in store for you at the Little Theater off Times Square, if you like to laugh. Yes, it's a farce, a hilarious play that will amuse you no end. It's called There's Something in the Air. Be sure to join us next week, same time, same station. And ladies, remember, you never know how pretty you can be until you try Magic Touch. And now we move out of the theater and into the street.
Here's your cab, Mr. First Nighter.
Thank you. Good night.
Campana's First Nighter program, starring Olin Soule and Barbara Luddy, is a copyrighted radio feature. Tonight's play was pure fiction and did not refer to real people or actual events. Play safe. Never scratch an irritated skin. It can cause serious infection. Use DDD Prescription, a cooling, soothing liquid that brings almost instant relief from the irritating discomfort caused by eczema, rash, hives. DDD Prescription is a doctor's formula, proved in use for over 50 years. Trial bottle, 35 cents.
The First Nighter program came to you over CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Campana's First Nighter program. From the Little Theater off Times Square. Starring Olin Soule and Barbara Luddy with an all-star cast sent to you by Campana, the quality name in cosmetics. Broadway, theater time. And this evening there's a special date on the theater calendar because a new play is scheduled for its opening night performance at the Little Theater off Times Square. What's more, you have front row seats with the genial First Nighter himself as your host. And here he is.
Good evening, everybody. They say it's going to be a prompt curtain tonight, so let's be off, shall we? Here's my cab. Won't you step in? All right, driver, let's go. Up Broadway, across 42nd Street, and into the famous Times Square district. Theater and supper clubs cluster in this area like pins in a pincushion. Well, here we are.
You know, my dear, you simply never see a short skirt anymore.
Isn't that what we got here, the big union official?
John has asked us all to the El Morocco after the show.
Have your tickets ready, please. Have your tickets ready, please.
Good evening, Mr. First Nighter. The usher will show you to your seats.
Thank you. We'll go right in. Here we are inside the theater, ladies and gentlemen, and I wish I had time to name all the notables in the audience tonight. But about the play, it's a farce called There's Something in the Air, written by Anthony Wayne. And according to reports from those in the know, it promises a half hour of hilarious entertainment. Olin Soule and Barbara Luddy headline the all-star cast. Mr. Soule will play Ted Drysdale, a lad who's sure of his girl, but not sure of his mother's blessing. Miss Luddy takes the part of Anne Brown, Ted's fiancée, the girl in question. And look at this lineup of talent. There's Polly Bear as Homer, Eleanor Audley as Mrs. Brown, Louis Van Ruten as Mr. Brown, Verna Felton as Mrs. Drysdale, and other equally famous names. I see Frank Worth and his First Nighter Orchestra in the pit, and it's just about time for First Curtain. First curtain, the house lights are out, and here's the play.
Oh, greetings, Theodore.
All right, come on, Homer. Now, why did you insist that I stop at your house? You know I'm in a hurry.
Patience, my good friend, patience.
Oh.
Psst. Come into my laboratory with me.
Patience? My mother's arriving tomorrow to meet Annette's family, and they don't know anything about it. How can I be patient?
Right in here, Theo.
Now, listen here, you test tube Darwin. I've got important business.
Let me shut the door.
Oh, Homer, for Pete's sake, what do you want with me?
Theodore, I've discovered it. The secret is mine.
It is? Discovered what? What are you talking about?
Shh. Even the walls have ears.
Yeah? Where?
Now, listen carefully. I've discovered how to make human beings fly.
Homer, is that what you wanted to tell me?
Think of it. Men and women floating about in the atmosphere like birds, even little children.
Yeah, little children like little gnats. Listen, Thomas Edison, you've been working in this lab so long that your brain spouts fire like a Bunsen burner.
I tell you, I have it. Look, one of these pills, and in 2 minutes you'll be wafting about like a balloon.
Yeah. Crazy as a bedbug.
Take one and see.
No, you get away from me with that.
Why?
Why should I want to waft like a balloon?
No, you'll have occasions.
What do these pills do to you?
They induce what I call heliomorphosis. In them, I have combined the active ingredient of helium with a new element, which I call gatoso.
Helium? You mean you fill up like a balloon when you take that pill?
Oh, no. The pill produces a chemical change inside the body, which makes it slightly lighter than air. Oh, Theodore, I declare it is revolutionary.
Yeah, well, it should be. When you get sore at some other gas bag, you just stick them with a pin.
No. It's true that a gaseous formation does take place, but the body is not distended.
Listen, Homer, you misdirected microbe. Do you think anyone in his right mind would actually swallow one of those pills?
Assuredly. Now, I want you to take some to Annette and her father.
Yeah. Not on your life, pal.
But Annette is an enthusiastic amateur pilot, and her father is an inventor of ability.
Yeah,
and if you...
Annette's flying is my biggest headache. And don't mention the old man. I wish he'd invent a mousetrap and get himself caught in it.
But, Theodore, my greatest discovery. You must show it to her. I want to know what she thinks.
Homer, haven't I enough trouble? What do you think Mother's going to say when she arrives here in Denver and meets that screwy family of Annette's?
Please show Annette the pills. She flies an airplane. She'll appreciate them.
Okay. Anything to please you.
Oh, splendid. Now, let's see. What can I put them in? Oh, here we have it. This old aspirin tin. There. 4 pills. They look just like aspirin, don't they?
Yeah. So will I if I don't get going.
Yeah, well, now, don't forget to tell her about them now.
No, I won't. So long, Homer.
Good night, Theo.
You'd have loved it. I was up 5,000 feet. The clouds were like billowy fluffs of whipped cream, and I just dove through them like that.
Yeah, I know, Ann. But look, let's forget airplanes for just a minute, because I have some important news for you.
Important news? Really?
Yeah. Mother's arriving from New York tomorrow.
Ted, how grand.
She wants to meet my fiancé and her family.
Oh,
I know she's going to be just as crazy about you as I am, darling.
Well, I hope so.
Sure, no one could help but love you. Just one thing.
Yeah, that's my flying.
Yes. You see, Mother's older and more conservative. She detests airplanes, escalators, dial phones. Well, this is the first time in her life she's been west of the Adirondacks.
But what'll I do, Ted?
Well, just don't mention airplanes while she's here, will you?
Well, if that's the way you want it, yes.
Why, Ted, I didn't know you were here.
Well, good evening, Mrs. Brown. How are you?
Well, I haven't been feeling so well. Something the matter with my joints.
Oh.
But I found some new medicine, perfectly marvelous stuff. 6 bottles and you don't know you have any joints. You ought to try it, Ted.
Well, but I don't have any trouble with my joints.
Oh, you ought to take it anyway. It's wonderful. What do you have trouble with?
Well, nothing really, except maybe a cold in the winter once in a while.
Oh, I've got the best medicine for colds. It's wonderful.
Yeah.
I just tried everything until I found this. Why, do you know I only had 4 colds last winter taking this medicine?
Ted's mother is arriving in Denver from the east tomorrow.
No, come in here.
Yeah, she's awfully anxious to meet you.
Well, now, why don't you come and bring her for dinner here tomorrow night?
Well, I...
Yes, why don't you, Ted?
Well, that's nice of you, Mrs. Brown, but I don't know where their mother...
Oh, now, no excuses. Tomorrow night for dinner, I'll get Lizzie in to help prepare the meal. What's your mother like? Does she like stewed chicken?
Oh, anything will be all right.
Oh, well, that's pretty rich. Might give her heartburn. Is she bothered with heartburn?
Well, I don't think so.
Oh, I have the most marvelous remedy for heartburn. Yes, an old shoe cobbler down in Leadville mixes it up. I'll tell your mother about it.
Hey, Maude, where's my screwdriver?
Come on in here, Pa. Ted's here.
Well, hello there, Mr. Brown.
Well, how are you, Ted? Glad to see you.
Glad to see you, sir.
Ted's mother's arriving tomorrow, and she and Ted are coming for dinner tomorrow night.
Well, maybe we'll get something decent to eat for a change, hey, Annie?
What do you mean? You know with your gout there's only a few things you can eat. Now, if you'd only take that medicine I told you about.
Oh, you and your medicines.
Figured out any new inventions lately, Mr. Brown?
Oh, did I tell you I'm inventing a tailor-made razor?
No, what's that?
Well, it's like a mask made to fit on your face. Just clamp it on, press button, take it off, and there you are, all shaved.
Gee. Say, that sounds like a dandy, Mr. Brown.
Yeah, it's a humdinger. Can't figure out why it won't work.
Yes, that's always the trouble. Nothing you invent ever works.
There you are, Ted. No one ever appreciates a genius. Say, I wonder if you'd help me move a box into my workshop.
Well, is it heavy?
Well, it's full of iron and steel.
Oh, well, I better get my coat off, then. Here you are, Ann. Catch.
Oh, I'm sorry. It fell on the floor.
Right.
I'll get it.
Come on, Mr. Brown. I'll help you.
No, thank you.
Oh, Mother.
I was just wondering, Ann. We'll have dumplings. And what'll we have for a vegetable?
Mother, I'm scared to death of meeting Mrs. Drysdale.
Oh, nonsense, Annette. Why?
Well, she's such high society and from New York. What if she doesn't like me?
Well, I guess we're just as good as she is. I'll tell her a little bit about my family tree.
Oh, I'm so anxious to make a good impression. Please don't tell her about all your medicines.
Well, maybe she'll need some.
Oh, don't, please.
Well, if you say so.
And can't we keep Father quiet about his inventions?
Just leave your father to me.
Oh, here they come now.
Well, we got rid of that with neatness and dispatch.
Yeah. You know, I really think I should be going.
Well, now we'll see you for dinner tomorrow night, Ted.
Yes, indeed.
Here's your coat.
Thanks, dear. And here's a kiss. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Good night, folks.
Oh, say, what's this on the floor?
Oh, it's a little tin of aspirin.
Well, I'll just put that here on the table. I may need some of that.
And the curtain comes down on the first act of tonight's play in the little theater off Times Square.
Smoking in the outer lobby or downstairs.
And now I see Larry Keating and a friend of his are scheduled for a little guessing game.
Mr. Keating, can you guess how many marriages there were from 1940 to 1946?
Oh, I'd guess 19,587,000.
Not bad. You missed by only 938.
Well, let's try another.
Can you guess what the latest sensation is in the world of beauty?
Ah, that I know. It's Magic Touch.
Magic Touch?
Magic Touch. Yes, Magic Touch is the latest sensation in the world of beauty because it's so new, so utterly different.
Tell me more.
Magic Touch is Campana's amazing cream makeup, and you'll never know how pretty you can be until you try it. Magic Touch comes in a lovely white and gold wafer-thin compact. It puts magic complexion beauty at your fingertips. You simply stroke your fingertips over the creamy surface of Magic Touch, smooth it on, and blend. No powder puff, no water. You can use it anytime, anywhere, and it literally performs miracles on your skin. Gives you that new complexion loveliness that women are demanding today. The unmade-up look. Yes, Magic Touch is the new kind of sheer makeup for achieving today's flattering fashion of complexion beauty. A fragile, delicate, Dresden doll-like loveliness.
Does Magic Touch conceal little blemishes?
Yes. You'll have a poreless, flawless-looking complexion for hours and hours.
Do I use powder, too?
No, if you want that attractive, luminous look, and I don't mean shiny. Yes, if you prefer the soft matte finish.
Is Magic Touch expensive?
You get a large plastic golden white compact of Magic Touch for only $1. The special introductory size sells for only 39 cents. And there's no finer quality at any price. And remember, ladies, the demand for Magic Touch is growing by leaps and bounds. If the store where you trade does not have Magic Touch, ask them to order it from their wholesaler. They can get it for you quickly.
I'm going to try Magic Touch tomorrow.
You'll never know how pretty you can be until you do.
Curtain. Second curtain.
First nighters are hurrying down the aisle to their seats. The lights are dimmed, and here's the second act of There's Something in the Air.
Mother.
Yes, I'm down here in the dining room, Annette.
Oh, Oh, how do I look?
Oh, lovely, dear. Perfectly lovely.
Oh, Mother, I'm absolutely petrified.
Oh, nonsense now. We'll show his mother some real Western hospitality.
How's the dinner coming?
Well, it better be good. I read Emily Post all morning and drilled it into Lizzie all afternoon.
Mother, couldn't we take those antimacassars off the chairs for tonight?
Why, Annette, they're very handsome.
Well, I know, Mother, but I don't think people in Eastern society use them. Just for tonight, please.
All right.
Good heavens, did you hear that?
I'll say I did. And if that Lizzie has broken any of my best china, I'll...
Hey, Mon! Mon!
What is it, Father? Mother's in the kitchen.
Mother made me get into this gosh darn stiff collar tonight. I just hope Ted's old lady's worth all this suffering.
Oh, you look sweet, Father.
Well, I don't feel sweet. I feel rotten. Got a split in the headache.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I thought maybe... Maybe your mother might have something out of all her medicines for a headache.
Oh, wait, here's some aspirin on the living room table. I put it here last night. There, take that tablet. That'll fix your headache.
Well, thank you, Annie. My head feels as big as a balloon.
Oh, of all the buttered-fingered lummoxes.
Would she break?
The gravy boat and my cut-glass pickle dish. Oh, I'm a nervous wreck. What are you doing down here, Pa?
You're in a headache. Any objections?
No, but you go and put your coat on. They'll be here any minute.
You mean I gotta wear a coat?
Of course you do.
Oh, a stiff collar and a gosh darn coat.
Oh. Oh, Annette, I hope for your sake things go right. Oh, my head is simply bursting.
Well, Father just took an aspirin. Why don't you? It'll help your headache.
Yes, give me one. Of course, they're not as good as my headache milk, but they'll do. Oh, thank you, dear.
I talked to Ted on the phone this afternoon, and he said his mother was having trouble getting used to the altitude out here.
Well, maybe it'll make her a little dizzy, and she won't be able to stay so long. Pa!
Here he comes.
Where?
Mother, look!
Pa! Pa, what in the name of goodness do you think you're doing?
He's floating right up. He's on the ceiling.
Well, what do you think of this, Maud? Imagine me up here on the ceiling.
Oh, listen, you old coyote. You come down from there this minute.
Well, I would if I could, but I don't seem to be able to do nothing about it.
Oh, Mother, he's playing a joke.
Well, it ain't funny.
You know, I never realized till now how things look to a fly.
Oh. Horatio Brown, what's holding you up there on that ceiling?
Search me. I just suddenly found myself up here. Say, Maud, your ceiling's dirty.
Oh. Mother, they're liable to ring the bell any minute.
Don't worry, dear. I'll get a broom and sweep that old buzzard down from there.
Mother!
Oh, Anne! I'm going up in the air, too!
I know, I see you.
That's a ticket, Maud. Come on up.
Mother, what's making you do this?
Oh, I wish I knew. I've never done it before.
You suppose it's something we ate, Maud?
I'll bet this is another of your wild-eyed inventions, Horatio Brown.
No, it ain't. I'm innocent. I just floated up here like you did.
But can't you get down?
Well, I don't know how.
Do you feel all right?
Fine. A little gas on my stomach, maybe.
You've always been full of hot air. Wait till I grab this chandelier.
No, I don't mind this up here at all. Takes a load off my feet. I think I'll stretch out.
You'll do nothing of the kind. You invent a way to get us down on that floor.
But it just isn't possible for people to float in the air like this.
It ain't possible, Annette, but your mother and I are doing it.
Oh, but what in heaven's name will Mrs. Drysdale think?
It'll be mild to what I'm already thinking. Oh, I feel like a fairy dancing around here on the ceiling.
A little heavy for a fairy, Maud. More like a Boeing bomber.
If you can just get down around the chandelier, Mother, I'll stand on a chair and pull you down.
Be like landing a Zeppelin.
I'm trying to work down to the chandelier, Anne.
Well, you do if you get her down. She'll need an anchor to hold her in her chair.
Oh, you're a big help. Why don't you do something?
Why should I? I like it here. Just wondering if my clothes will float when I take them off to go to bed.
Oh, it's the front door. They're here.
Oh, Anne, I'm so sorry. Oh, this is dreadful.
What'll I do?
Bring them in.
Oh, I can't. She'll think we're all crazy.
Well, ain't we?
Anne, nobody answered the front door, so we just walked right... Great balls of fire.
What's happened to your mother and father?
In the name of mercy, Ted, what kind of people are these hanging on chandeliers?
Oh, Mrs. Drysdale, I'm so sorry. We're so up in the air.
Up in the air? I heard the altitude in Denver was high, but I didn't know it was so high people walked on their ceilings.
Oh, Mrs. Drysdale, I hope you'll excuse me for not coming down.
Indeed.
But, Anne, what started this?
I haven't the slightest idea. All of a sudden, Father just floated up like a feather, and in a few minutes, Mother followed him.
I tell you, Ted, we had roast duck last night. I suppose that might have done it.
Do you mean to tell me, Ted, that this is the family you propose marrying into?
Oh, Mrs. Drysdale, this is most unusual. We don't do this all the time.
Oh, well, that's a comforting thought.
Oh, I forgot, Mother. This is Annette.
Annette, huh? Seems to me it would be our nut. Ted, this place is a madhouse.
Well, Mother, I don't know what's happened, but if you'll just wait a minute, maybe we can straighten this out.
Oh, to think of my son marrying into a band of trapeze artists.
Listen, Mrs. Brown, I'm taking my coat off.
Yes.
And now I'm going to hang on to one sleeve and toss the coat up to you.
Oh,
you grab it, and then I can pull you down.
Oh, Ted, you're a genius.
You ready?
Yes.
Here it comes.
I got it.
Oh, grand, Ted.
All right. Now we pull you down. One, two, three, and you're down.
Oh, you don't know what this means to me. I feel like I've been in another world.
Just sit down here, Mother.
Yes. Oh.
Hey.
Oh, mercy alive, look at her. She's floating back up again.
I tell you, you can't keep a good woman down.
Oh, it's no use. I don't know what I've done to deserve this.
Marty, you're an angel. If you ever venture outdoors, you'll go to heaven sure shooting.
Oh, this is more than I can stand.
Say, I just thought of something. Has Homer been over here today?
Oh, no. Why?
I'll bet my right leg he knows something about
this.
Well,
let's call him up.
No, I'm going over and get him. I'll bring him back in 10 minutes.
Ted, now, Ted, you can't leave me here with these people.
Please don't worry, Mrs. Drysdale. We're really all right.
Oh, this excitement. It's given me a murderous headache.
Oh. Why don't you take one of these aspirins, Mrs. Drysdale? I'll get you some water.
Oh, yes. Yes, I need one, dear. Give it to me.
Here, this will quiet your nerves.
Oh, dear, I hope so.
The curtain comes down on the second act of tonight's play in the little theater off Times Square.
Smoking downstairs or in the outer lobby only.
Now I see Larry Keating wearing a smile from ear to ear.
Yes, I'm smiling. I'm really rejoicing because so many women across America are rejoicing, too. They're genuinely happy because, once again, their favorite hand lotion, good, dependable Italian balm, is back again.
It was really a hardship during the war not to have Italian balm. But now, its dependable, quick-soothing, softening protection is mine again. And my hands are so completely free of dryness and roughness.
And remember, ladies, please, this is the month of March, the windy, blustery month, when your skin needs sturdy protection against dryness. Use Italian Balm regularly every day. Let the fine quality of its good ingredients help your hands look more youthful, prettier.
Italian Balm is so thrifty, too. One drop takes care of both hands.
Curtain, last curtain.
The first nighters are all in their seats, ready for the last act. And there goes the curtain.
Mrs. Drysdale, I hope you're not going to judge us completely by this dreadful first impression.
Oh, really, Mrs. Drysdale? I can trace my ancestry back to the Robins of Boston.
Robins, huh? I think it ought to be the Bullfinches of Brooklyn.
Not bad, Mrs. Dry, not bad.
I'm really a very home-loving person, and I do love Ted.
Young lady, if Ted and I ever get out of here alive, I'll take him so far away from here, he'll never see you again.
Oh, Mrs. Drysdale.
Wait a minute. What's the matter with me? Oh, I feel so strange.
Mrs. Drysdale, you're taking off.
Oh, mercy. Mercy to goodness, it's gotten me now. Help me. Help me.
I can't. You're up too high.
Ow!
down the ceiling.
Sure, we're a pretty sight taken off, Mrs. Drysdale.
Oh, I knew if I stayed in this house, it would happen to me, too.
Yep, we're all floating in the same air now.
It must be some kind of a disease, and I've caught it.
Well, then why doesn't Anne fly around?
Yes. What makes you immune, Annette?
I don't know, and I'm beginning to think there must be something the matter with me, because I don't.
No, sir. You're all wrong.
Mm. Well, what do you mean? Do you know the cause of this?
Well, floating around up here, I've been doing a little noodling on the subject. Have you noticed that it's only us old folks that's affected?
Why, yes, you're right.
Well, what's that got to do with it, Pa?
Well, that's what I'm coming to. Now, don't the Bible say, ashes to ashes, dust to dust?
Yes, those are the very words.
Well, don't dust blow around and float in the air?
Of course.
Well, we're just getting on in age. Here we are. Blown around. Soon we'll just return to dust.
Mr. Brown, I think you're right.
You mean we're going to dry up and blow away?
Yep, Maud. Won't be long before we'll just be something that gets into people's eyes.
You know, realizing that, it's given me a different outlook on life already.
Oh, it scares me.
Oh, shucks, you gotta go sometime. This sure's a novel way.
Mrs. Brown, you know your husband is a very unusual man.
Well, I guess I never appreciated Horatio.
His is an amazing philosophy. A rich, deep understanding of life and the world.
That's right, Mrs. Dry. I'm a philosopher.
Oh, I feel happier up here by the chandelier. Now that I have your outlook of life, Mr. Brown.
Well, as long as we're stuck up here, we might as well have some fun. Ever been up in an airplane, Mrs. Dry?
No, I never have. But this experience makes me think I might enjoy it.
Well, Annette down there is a wonderful pilot. She flies her own plane.
Oh, really? Annette, if I ever get down, would you take me for a ride in your aeroplane?
Why, yes, I'd love to, Mrs. Drysdale.
Wait there a second, Mrs. Dry. Yes. Now, I'll give you a push over to the other side of the room. That'll sort of give you an idea how it feels.
Oh, Horatio, don't start getting funny with Mrs. Drysdale.
No, really, I want him to. Go ahead, push me, Mr. Brown.
All right. There you go.
Oh, isn't it thrilling?
Pa, that looks like it's fun. Push me the other way.
Well, wait till I brace myself against the chandelier. All right. There you go.
Oh, gee, I feel so lonesome down here on the floor. Isn't there any way I can get up there, too?
You ain't old enough, Annette.
Oh. Oh, listen, well, there comes Ted back.
Won't he be surprised to see me up here?
Homer's with him. Ted!
Yeah?
Ted, look what's happened since you left.
What do you mean, Aunt? Jumping Jupiter, Mother!
Yes, Ted. I'm up here, too, but don't worry. I'm enjoying it.
Hooray, hooray. It works. It works.
What
it works.
Works?
Look at them up there. Even your mother. I never dared hope that anyone that size would have said.
What do you mean, that size?
Homer, what do you know about this? Know about it? I know everything about it, my good friend. My pills induced the ascension, didn't they?
What pills?
The pills I gave you last night.
Holy smoke, I put them in this pocket. They're not there.
Wait a minute, Ted. Were they in an aspirin tin?
Precisely, yes. Annette. A little aspirin box.
Oh, for goodness sake, then I'm to blame. They fell out of your pocket last night, Ted. Here they are. I've been giving them as aspirin.
Oh, no. Thank you, Annette. Thank you profusely. You've proved that my discovery really works.
You mean you're responsible for this, Homer Makepeace?
Yes, ma'am. Isn't it wonderful?
You know, son, I think you've got something there.
Then we're not blowing away dust to dust?
No, I guess not, Ma.
Oh, but it was such a lovely thought.
Now, listen here, Homer. Your pills got them up there. Now, how do you get them down?
Why, all they have to do... Oh, I never thought of that.
Never thought of it?
No, I devoted all my time to getting them up. I forgot about the rest.
Oh, good grief.
Well, never mind, Ted. Now, we're perfectly happy. Oh, help! I'm falling!
Look out! Here comes Father!
What a bump.
Well, what brought you down, Father?
Well, don't ask me. I just came down like I went up. For no good reason. Oh, my ankle.
Oh,
Homer, do you know what happened?
I'm sorry, Theodore, but I'd have to examine Mr. Brown with my instrument.
No, you don't.
The effect of the pill may have worn off.
Oh, help!
Look out, they're dropping like flies. Four!
Why, it's your mother, Anne.
Oh, poor mother.
Oh, it's all right. I fell on the sofa. Get ready for Mrs. Drysdale. She'll be falling next.
Yeah. Come here, Homer. Get ready to catch Mother. Here, I'll help you.
Here, we're ready.
Catch her, catch her. There she comes.
All right, come on, Mother.
What a thrilling experience.
Are you all right, Mrs. Drysdale?
Yes, I'm quite all right. Just fine.
Mother, I hope you're not going to let this influence you against Annette and her family.
Influence me? Well, I should say not. Annette's a dear. She's going to take me for a ride in her aeroplane.
What?
Yes, and her mother's as sweet as can be. But her father... Oh, there's a man.
Well, then you mean I can marry him?
Why, of course. The sooner the better.
Well, I'll be... Hey, Homer.
Yes, Theo?
Do you have any more of those pills at home?
Oh, yes. A whole crock full of them.
Oh, boy, come on, Ann. Let's us swallow a couple and take off together.
And the curtain falls on the final act of another original play in the Little Theater off Times Square. Mrs. Soleil and Miss Lottie are in front of the footlights. The audience is giving them an ovation. The plays are here. Next week, ladies and gentlemen, we want to issue a special invitation to you and your family to join us again when another brand new play entitled The Green Leprechaun will be presented in the Little Theater off Times Square. It's a love story, the kind that tugs at your heartstrings as it puts a smile on your lips. Your whole family will enjoy it. Be sure to join us next week, same time, same stations. And ladies, you never know how pretty you can be until you try Magic Touch. Now we move out of the theater and into the street.
Here's your cab, Mr. First Matter.
Thank you. Good night. Campana's First Nighter program, starring Barbara Luddy and Olin Soule, is a copyrighted radio feature. Tonight's play was pure fiction and did not refer to real people or actual events. Scratching and irritated skin can cause serious infection. If you're troubled with skin irritation caused by eczema, hives, winter rash, use DDD Prescription, the cooling antiseptic liquid that brings relief from irritating skin discomfort almost instantly. Ask for DDD Prescription. Trial bottle, 35 cents at any drugstore.
The First Nighter program came to you over CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
And that's this week's Mutual Presents feature. The Mutual Audio Network brings the best of old-time radio and modern audio theater to the world. Be sure to subscribe through the Mutual Audio Network podcast feed, any of our podcast days, or the Mutual YouTube channel, which includes MadCon and many other extra features and shows. See you all next time at Mutual Presents. Good night.
Now, you seem to me to be a connoisseur of the best of radio drama. In which case, make sure you're subscribed to the Monday Matinee feed. There we have our weekly series of dramatic, theatrical, classic, eclectic, and live radio drama. So yeah, either the main Mutual Audio Network feed for all types and genres of audio drama, or the Monday Matinee. And we'll see you there.
The Mutual Audio Network. Listening and imagining together.